Football Fancast. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and joining me this week we've got Spurs fan Dan Tracy. Hi Dan, are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm alright. Let's start with the last game you played then. You drew 1-1 with Arsenal. You happy with the result?
To be honest, no. It's Wednesday now, isn't it? I still don't know how we didn't win it. Before the game, if someone had said a draw at the Emirates, you'd pretty much take it as a Spurs fan because we don't do too well there. But the way we play, I think we absolutely bossed it. Certainly the first half, I think it was probably Spurs' best 45 minutes of football we've had this season so far. I think Arsenal, they were so leggy. I mean, obviously, they played against Bayern Munich on the Wednesday, but Spurs had the Europa League game on Thursday, so I don't think they can use that too much as an excuse. And I just think that Tottenham had one weakness, and that was aerial balls into the box, and Arsenal exploited it, and that's why we didn't come away with 3 points.
I guess Giroud's got a good knack. I think he's got the most headed goals in the Premier League this season and last or something like that. But I thought overall, I thought your playing style was really good. I thought by far you were the better team, to be honest, should have won the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think midfield is just a lot stronger now. It's compared to midfield of last season, it was quite soft, really. I mean, Ben Sevenmason's not really the kind of midfield that's going to change for top four football come May. And I just think that it's sort of said to you that Dyer and Ali would be playing set midfielders, and the way they're playing week in, week out, you'd sort of think, well, I'm not sure about that, but credit to them, they played absolutely amazing, and they've just been amazing throughout the sort of 12 matches we've had in the league so far. So I think tactics were spot on. I think, again, it was our own downfall, really. I just think Carl Walker was a bit unfortunate with the fact he had sort of two men to mark when Aldevira went missing, and sort of Gibbs snuck in at the back post and got the equaliser, but I don't think you can really fault Tottenham. I think if there was one criticism, I think it's we had Arsenal on the ropes at 1-0, and I think there was two chances in the second half, one from Eriksen, one from Kane. If one of those goes in, 2-0, there's no way Arsenal are coming back from that. And I think, yeah, it's learning to kill teams off when you've got them on the ropes. It's maybe a bit naivety, but that comes from a young squad, I suppose. But I think it's the measure of how far Tottenham have come and how well we've played that we're sort of disappointed to not win against Arsenal at their ground.
So I guess before the game, though, if I'd have said to you, would you take a 1-1, I'm sure you probably would have done it, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy for hindsight. I thought it was going to be a draw, just the fact the way Tottenham hadn't lost in 10 league games and their sort of winning mentality is sort of building with every game. And I just think Arsenal getting thumped against Bayern Munich, you can sort of look at it two ways. You think, well, you can bounce back, you know, in your best possible ways to win, beat your nearest rivals. But it just looks sort of, I think they're sort of a bit knackered, aren't they, at the moment? I think they were there for the taking. I don't think they weren't at full strength. With all the injuries they had, I think a draw was going to be a fair result. But on the balance of play, when you actually watch the game, I think Tottenham really should have won the game.
Uh-huh. What did you make of the general playing style? Because it seems to be very high pressure, but overall as a team, you seem very efficient, quite tightly, well-organised, a well-drilled team.
Yeah, I think starts from the back, really. Now we've got a proper partnership at centre-back. It's giving players further forward to play with a bit more confidence. I think last season was quite, we didn't really know what the best personnel was, and players like Fazio and Chirichu, they're just awful centre-backs, really. And I think now you've got the sort of Belgians at the back that give you that stability. Okay, they did look amazing in the air on Sunday, but I think the way we're playing, and I think that almost like the first 11, we've sort of got it by accident, really. I mean, we never really sort of planned for Dembele to come in and feature as he is. Like I say, Dyer playing in centre midfield at the start of the season, everyone was a bit, I'm not sure about this. But I think we've really got the tactics spot on, really. I just got Lamella playing sort of certainly his best football in a Tottenham shirt. So you can't really complain about how Tottenham are playing. Maybe if there's any criticisms, it's the fact that although we're not losing, we're maybe drawing a bit too many games. I mean, what is it? It's after 12 games, it's 1-5, drawn 6. And I mean, if it was the other way round, we'd be in the top four. So these are the fine margins we're dealing with at the moment. But I think there's no real criticism from the way you sort of watch it. It's quite a pleasure to watch, actually. I think, it's, like I say, it's the best football that Tottenham have been playing, certainly in the last 18 months, 24 months or so. I mean, it's good to watch.
Let's talk about Dele Alli. You mentioned him before. I think he was man of the match. He was Sky's man of the match. He was hit, well, any of the Tottenham midfielders you probably could have picked. But 19 years old, it's amazing how far he's come along.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think the way we played on Sunday, I think you could have made a case for maybe two or three of the Tottenham midfielders to get man of the match. So raise a bit of an eyebrow from me. I wouldn't necessarily say he was man of the match on Sunday, but the way he's playing, I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, thrown in, first performance was against Leicester, wasn't it? Come off the bench, got the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just never looked back since, has he? He's been played, his first appearance was Everton, wasn't it? Coming as on the wide right, and his minutes have just increased bit by bit. And since Leicester, he's just not looked back, and I think he's just, he just looks like a class midfielder already at 19. His decision making was a bit off on Sunday when we were in the final third and we had Arsenal sort of on a counter attack. There was potential chances where if he just played a different ball, maybe slipped in Kane, he could have been looking at another sort of goal. But they're small criticisms, and I think we've got a real star there. And like I say, the partnership we've got at the moment is just really encouraging, certainly for the next few years to come. It's exciting times.
Well, you think for $5 million, which he was signed for Milton Keynes, it's not a bad signing. As you say, yeah, he was a sub the first four games, but he started every game since then. And for $5 million, I don't think you can question his great signing. But then before he was starting games, you're saying, hang on a minute, you're paying $5 million for someone who's never played Premier League football.
I think it's not a gamble, because I think he'd come highly rated, and I think if we didn't pay the $5 million, clubs were lining up to pay it. So I think, you know, that's just the market. Mm-hmm. You have to pay what the value of the player is. So I think, it's just if he's good, you know, people say, oh, is he too young? But I think if you're good enough, get him playing. And I think, you know, we sort of, we look much, much better in the partnership we've got compared to Bentley and Mason. So I think it's a brilliant decision to be playing him. I can't think of another player you'd put in at the moment. I think he's certainly the best centre midfielder we've got.
Well, let's talk about his midfield partner then, Eric Dier. He impressed me last season where he played centre-back and right-back. He was signed for a similar sort of fee, I think. Has he impressed you this season?
Yeah, without doubt. I think he's well warranted to get an England call up for the friendlies coming up this week. So I think, again, it's just the partnership. I think it's taken everyone by surprise, really. And I think it was always going to be one for the future, but I don't think anyone really expected it to come this good so early. And I think they can only go from strength to strength, really. If they keep playing every week like this, there's no reason why, dare I say, one, maybe even both of them won't be in this squad for Euro 2016.
I was going to ask that. Do you think they're both good enough to play for England? I'm amazed, to be honest, Eric Dier didn't get his call up last season. But
I think last season, because he was playing in a couple of positions, it was maybe a case of sort of jack of all trades, master of none. Now he's got this sort of extra string to his bow almost, but this is the sort of this position he can play in. I think if he sort of hones in and focuses on that, there's absolutely no reason, like I say, why certainly one of them will get there. The toss up as to who, but it wouldn't be the most outrageous thing if both have got in the squad. They're playing that well, to be honest. And I think you look at the other sort of English, especially defensive centre midfielders we've got, and there's not that many to go on anymore, is there really? So I think, yeah, why not? You know, the opportunity's there. It's up to them to sort of take it.
I guess Eric Dier would be useful to have in the squad with his versatility.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in tournament football, you're always looking for players who can play in more than one position. So, you know, he can play in three positions, right-back, centre-back, centre-midfield. So maybe his versatility would take him higher up the pecking order than Dele Alli. But, as to either, I think it would be sort of quite harsh and one of them not getting the nod. So, you know, it's not me to pick, but maybe a bit of bias as a Spurs fan. But, yeah, getting both in this squad.
Let's talk about another English player, Harry Kane. He had an amazing season last year. He scored 31 goals, but there's people who say he's a bit of a one-season wonder. Do you think that's fair?
No, I think that's a bit harsh, to be honest. I mean, admittedly, he didn't start the season well, but he's now coming into goal-scoring form. Was it 6 Premier League goals now? And that's not a bad return. He's not going to get 31 goals like he did last season. That was just an amazing season, and I think he's not been found out, but obviously people are more wiser to how he plays. But that said, I think he'll still chip in with, say, you know, 20 goals, and that's not a bad return. I think there's a bit of pressure at the start of the season because, obviously, he was like the only striker we had. And it was like, well, if he doesn't score, where are the goals going to come from? And I think also Tottenham's pre-season was a bit all over the place, really. Like, he hadn't had a break. We'd gone to Australia, and then there was England under-21s for him, and then we're playing in Germany 3 days before. So I don't think we were the most rested or fittest club come the start of the season. I think it's sort of shown Harry Kane's performances, certainly against Everton at home, when he had 2 one-on-ones that he should have really scored, the kind of goals that he would have scored last season. And I think there's been games where you think last season he would have shot earlier and he would have scored that, but I think certainly over the last 2 to 3 weeks we've seen him sort of come back into his own. So I think people say one season wonder, I think it's quite lazy and it's just an easy sort of way to dismiss him. I think he'll be absolutely fine this season.
Well, that's the argument that I would make, that first 6 games he didn't score anything, but he played every minute of the under-21 campaign in the summer, and then the last 6 after that he scored 6 goals, so he has really improved since that poor start. And I guess you could call it a hangover from what's happened in the summer with all the work he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's just tired, really. People were saying, well, you know, at that age you shouldn't be tired, but what break did he really have? And I just think we were a bit guilty of running him into the ground, really. And I think you've got to be careful with him, because we're doing well at the moment, and we're only sort of a couple of injuries away from it all falling apart, really. So it's great at the moment, but if Harry Kane does get injured, which I hope, obviously, he doesn't, it's going to be quite sort of a worry between now and January as to who would play up front. So,
well, you've got the summer arrivals. There was Clinton Anger and Heung-Min Son, who both came in for pretty big fees. I think it was about 30-odd million combined. I'm not really sure they're both the sort of lone strikers you'd want, though. They both look very good at playing either behind a striker or on a wing or some, rather than as the main man up top.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredibly fast, I'll give him that, but we've only seen sort of fleeting performances from him, really, so it's hard to sort of gauge how good he really is. So, I mean, whether you can sort of say he's good or not this early, it's a bit of an inconclusive call at the moment. As for Son, I think the key for him is he can play in sort of 3 or 4 positions, so that's quite a good signing. Also, he's got Champions League experience, so there's no... I wouldn't like to see him go play up front on his own, but you're right, on the wings or maybe off a striker. I think he's quite a good signing. I think the problem we had, when Harry Kane was getting so many goals, and then you think, right, we've got rid of Soldado, we've got rid of Adebayor, we're going to need a backup striker. But it's hard to sort of sell that to a player. If you're someone like, for example, let's say Charlie Austin, who was linked with Spurs, but I don't think it's ever going to happen, that it's a hard sell for him to say, well, you're going to come to Tottenham, you're not really going to play every week. It's like it really sort of diminishes the kind of players you can get. Do you want to buy someone who's going to be a sub? So then you're sort of in the sort of business of panic buying. You get the Berahino sort of nonsense where they know that we need a striker and we're not sort of prepared to pay what they want because they know we're desperate. It's our transfer business wasn't great, and I think there was a lot of discontent come August, and because we thought, oh, it's going to be a long autumn. But thankfully, the results have sort of they've hushed that. Those murmurs, really, because, yeah, August, especially as the sort of final day of the transfer deadline, is getting a bit of a joke, really, as to where we're going to get this striker from. So, like I say, if there's no injuries, the personnel's okay for now. Like, it's doing a job, and it's doing a good job.
Well, that's the thing. Like you say, NG, it's hard to have an opinion on it, because he's done nothing before his time at Spurs, and he's obviously not played many minutes. But Son, I watched the German league, and he looks a really bright player in there. He's, you know, he's capable of providing that spark and could play on the wing or maybe in a front three. Lamela as well is another option who can play up front.
Yeah, I think, like I say, Lamela's finally starting to adapt to English football. I think it's taken a long time and injuries, and obviously I don't think he settled in too well. But, you know, you can maybe say the language barrier, but when someone's young, you need the support network around him. I don't think he sort of necessarily had that when he first came to the club, but he's looking so much better now, he was chasing everything on Sunday to the sort of detriment almost where he could have got himself sent off. And I think we sort of missed him once he did come off. And I think that almost sort of was one of the reasons why we conceded, because we missed his sort of ferociousness on the wings and just being a nuisance. But yeah, he's sort of versatile. There's still bits of his game where you think, oh, just pass and not do the showboating. But it's good that we're finally seeing a bit of return on our investment for, what was it, £30 million. So yeah, he's starting to turn the corner, which is pleasing to see.
Well, there was a lot of deadwood taken out. You mentioned Soldado, Adebayor. I take it you're happy they're both out of the club off the wage bill.
Yeah, I mean, Soldado wasn't really like a burden or a, you know, or he's got to go, get him off the wage bill, that kind of thing. But it just wasn't really cut out for him, bless him. It's sort of, I think the pivotal moment for him was when he missed that easy chance against Fiorentina away in Europa League. And I think that just sort of summed up his Tottenham career in a nutshell, really. I mean, he tried hard, but did he get the service? Was the team sort of set up to get the best out of him? It's hard to say, really. I mean, I think the price tag also went against him. That was 26 million. If he was, say, 10, 15 million, there's not as much pressure on him to get as many goals. But the weight of the transfer fee, the expectation that comes with it, puts pressure on him. And I think some players, they turn into a lost cause, unfortunately. He could make a similar case to, say, like Fernando Torres at Chelsea. Like, once the head's gone, they're just gone. They've got to go. But not just the strikers. There was a lot of, like, midfield was incredibly bloated, like Capoue, Stambouli, and I think like the whole Baldini era of transfers that he brought in, that sort of era of the bail money being spent, the transfers he bought were just awful. So I'm really glad that we've got rid of all the bad element of that, and we've got, you know, ones that left, so Ericsson, and I think it's just Chadli now, so 3 out of 7. But I think Pochettino's finally got his squad, and I think, you know, it's taken a bit of time, and you can see a nucleus of players that want to play for him now, and they're starting to, you know, do that. They're working much harder for a manager that's sort of trying to get the best out of them. I think the club as a whole looks less toxic. I think it's a better atmosphere and a better environment. I think Spurs are sort of showing fruit for it now. So we finally clear that dead wood and we can move on from that.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just Capoue and Stambouli you mentioned. There was Paulinho, Holtby, Cabal, Kirikez, Lennon, a lot of players out. Is there anyone you think you'll miss? Like, personally, I think Stambouli has the potential to be a good player, but other than that, I don't think there's anyone really.
Yeah, Stambouli maybe, but again, he never really got the chance. It's hard to sort of see how good he could be, really. I've always thought it was a bit of a weird transfer, because we never really needed him, to be honest. I think we were so oversubscribed in the centre midfield area that he's just never going to get game time. So, if I'm honest, I don't think I'll miss any of those players, really. They're not at their sort of new clubs. I know Soldado's had a pretty good start to the Spanish season, but no one's really putting up trees where they are. So, to be honest, no, I'm not.
All right. There's a couple of other defenders who you signed in the summer as well. There was Trippier, Wimmer and Alderweireld. They all settled in well, especially Alderweireld, who's a first-team player.
Yeah, I think he's been a class signing. Like I said earlier, I think just the fact we've actually got a proper centre-back partnership now just gives Tottenham so much more stability. We were so soft in the middle last season, and the players we had, like Fazio and Chilwell, they always looked like they had a goal to concede in them. I thought they were just terrible players at Tottenham, so I don't miss them at all. As for Trippier, fleeting appearances in Europa League and Cup games, not done too bad, but not really done anything outstanding, and certainly nothing to sort of displace Kyle Walker, who's having a bit of a resurgence of right back actually this season, and that's pleasing to see. But obviously bought with the future in mind, because I don't think Walker's legs are going to sort of stay and be able to work at that pace forever. So, you know, there'll be a sort of transitional couple of years where Trippier will be the number one right back. And Wimmer's played in the Europa League, again, not been too amazing, again, average sort of performances. Certainly, it's a level down from the two Belgians. So, but it gives us a bit more depth at centre back. And again, like, we've got rid of the deadwood that we had last season. So, a slight upgrade, but, you know, it's what you want from a sort of squad, really, job. But they're certainly the B team players, aren't they?
All right. Well, let's talk about the B team, if you like, the Europa League. So far, it's been all right. Top of the table, 7 points. But you've got like a tricky group with like Monaco and Anderlecht in there.
Yeah. Well, we played Anderlecht twice, so they're out of the way, and now we're top of the group. It's up to us now. I think last week's game against Anderlecht was a bit of a pivotal sort of moment as to what you do with the campaign, really, because it was, 4 points in 3 games before that, and if you lose, you're sort of thinking, well, is it really worth bothering for the other two? And like, do we really go for it? And now we sort of won, you sort of think, well, we're in with a chance of it, so we might as well keep going, because before, there's always that Thursday, Sunday issue, isn't there? But we seem to have managed that quite well this season. So,
well,
ironic, really, that we've got more of a chance of getting the top four this season, and we're in the Europa League. So, sort of, do you then push on for it in the other half of the season to the detriment of your league campaign? it's such a tough one, really. I mean,
well, that's my question. Do you care about the Europa League, or do you, you know, is it just a distraction from the Premier League to you?
Well, you care in the sense that obviously if you win it, you get in the Champions League. So that gives you that extra sort of interest. And I suppose you'd care about it if you were, say, sort of sixth or seventh and your season's coming to like a bit of a dead end, you've got nothing else to go for. But because of Chelsea's sort of implosion, you know, it sort of ties into the sort of it's top four a possibility. You sort of think, well, we're 10 points up on Chelsea already, so do you just sort of put all your eggs into the league sort of basket, if you will, and then sort of forget the Europa League? It's a tough one, really. I mean, I think we'll get out of the group, and then you can reassess come the new year, and then also you can get more players in. You might be able to add a couple of names in to sort of give you more options up front, for example. So then that takes the sort of strain out of Kane and Son and players like that. So that then that will let you compete on a second front. But at the moment, you're sort of thinking, have we got the personnel to go through all that extra football and sort of compete for the Premier League sort of top four as well? So it's too early to sort of make a decision, really. I know it's a bit sitting on the fence, but
yeah.
Tottenham, they'll have their own ideas in mind. But I think you've got to wait to see how the next couple of months pan out to see what position you're in to really focus sort of where to go, really. It's a tough one.
But then you as a, like, forgetting the Champions League and the long-term sort of side of it, I mean, would you know, seeing your team get to the quarter-final, semi-final, having a really good run in the Europa League, would that not really give you something to shout about?
Yeah, I mean, what was it, a couple of years back when we got to the quarter-final, we lost to, was it Basel? Yeah, we lost to Basel, the year Chelsea won it. And it's good, actually, because it's a good run, and you want to see your club actually win something. I know top four is a be-all and end-all, and Tottenham fans used to joke at Arsenal and say, well, oh, you're the top four trophy. I know they delivered a couple of FA Cups in the last couple of years, but you actually want to see something tangible for all your efforts. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all very well just being in the top four, and I know that brings the Champions League football and all the sort of riches that come with it and the spotlight, but it's nice to actually to want to win a trophy and actually go for it and maybe win something come the end of the season.
Okay. What do you think's your main target then, the Premier League? Is it a top four finish? Is that, you know, what you would consider to be a good season?
I think now it is. I think there's absolutely no reason why we can't finish in the top four. I mean, at the beginning of the season, you'd think, no, it's not going to happen this season because simply we just didn't buy the right or the enough players in the sort of, let's say, the attacking unit. And you thought, oh, well, you know, as long as we can just keep pace in the top six, that'll be a success. But now Chelsea are sort of, you know, in free fall. I know, you know, they could quite easily pick it back up again, but 10 points is a hell of a good head start. And we played them in a couple of weeks. And if we somehow, you know, if we don't lose that, or maybe even win, and keep the gap at, say, 10 points, then there's absolutely no reason why we can't go to top four football and get Champions League next season.
So you think it's a serious, you know, realistic ambition?
Yeah, I think it is now. You want to be careful not get too ahead of yourself. But I think the way we're playing, there's absolutely no reason why we can't compete and go for it.
Okay. Finally, just want to talk a bit about Pochettino. He's done a pretty good job since replacing Sherwood. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, when Tim Sherwood was appointed, that was the most sort of lacklustre appointment from a Tottenham point of view we've had in ages. And just, I thought,
were you not excited when he first took over?
No, I thought it was just an appointment of convenience. The fact they sort of gave an 18-month contract was like, well, you're probably going to go in the summer, but we'll give you an extra bit of money once we do bump you off, because he seems to be doing well to getting big payouts. But no, it didn't excite me. So when Poch came in, it took a while to sort of see where it was going and what the sort of ideas were and how they were going to actually come to fruition. But it's certainly happening now. And I think, like I said earlier, he's got his men in for his squad that he wants to get Tottenham sort of pushed up to that high level. And I think he's probably the most exciting point we've had, certainly in the last, you know, 5-10 years. I think it's really a really good appointment, and I think we've got a good future with the new stadium sort of coming finally. Hopefully, you know, he can sort of stay and lead us into that stadium. There's absolutely no reason why we can't be certainly competing with the big clubs once we get there.
Well, I know Pochettino is a manager, and I know in Spain and both at Southampton as well, he had a reputation for bringing through young talent, especially local talent like English talent or Spanish. And I suppose that's really helped you.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the sort of spine of the team. I know well, I say spine, it's only like maybe three players in the England squad, but it's, you know, we've got, it's a good foundation, and I'm sure, you know, there'll be more to come. I know Spurs is sort of underage group teams, always on the fringes of FA Cup youth semi-finals and things like that, so there's obviously more in the pipeline and more sort of places to come. I know Josh Onomoa or something, he's been making a few appearances off the bench, he looks quite exciting, so it's good that he's giving sort of young academy talent a chance, really. We're not having to necessarily go out and just buy someone for 10 million just to fill a gap. It's, there's trust in youth, and it's good to see.
He's a bit of a quiet man as well. He's not really someone with a big ego or anything like that. And I suppose, I think for that reason, he's a bit underrated. I think he just sort of goes about his business quietly rather than making any headlines or saying anything, you know, outlandish.
Yeah, you don't really see him in a sort of slangy match or saying anything that's going to get headlines. I think it's good that he goes under the radar and just gets on with what's important, what's right on the pitch. So I've got no complaints about that. I know football's, it's all about the entertainment, the soap opera now, isn't it? You know, the Mourinho versus Wenger and all that. But I think you can take a step back from that, and it's certainly doing Tottenham no detriment at the moment.
All right. Final question. I want to just ask a bit about you. You do a football blog, don't you?
I do. Yes. I've been doing a blog for about 6 months. It's called Real Football Man, and the address is www.realfootballman.com. Yeah, I need to get that right.
Yeah, I'll link it in the description.
Just basically like an all-encompassing sort of blog, really. Just writing sort of thoughts of what happens, games I watch, match previews, match reviews. Bit of a Tottenham slant, because obviously you write about what you know, but try and sort of do all-encompassing things about football. So, yeah, just like a one-stop shop for everything that's going on in football today.
All right, well, I'll drop that a link in the description. Hopefully get a few people having a look at that.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that, mate. That'd be great.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me. Your time's appreciated. You can also follow us at V2 Football or on Facebook, also V2 Football. You can check us out on V2 Journal. Yeah, thanks for joining me, Dan, and good night.
That's great, mate. Thanks very much.